Hiya, you're listening to Indoid, HuffPost UK's entertainment podcast. I'm Daniel Welsh and I'm with Rachel McGraw and Ash Percival. Today we're going to be reminiscing on great shows from the 90s, discussing Channel 4's plans for the Great British Bake Off, and of course we'll be finishing on this week's quiz as always. But before we get to all of that, to quote Salt and Pepper, let's talk about sex. Specifically, sex between Love Island contestants, not just like in general. So if you're watching this year's series of Love Island, you'd be forgiven for thinking that it's been a lot more tame than recent years in terms of its like sexual content. But it's now been suggested that this is actually deliberate on the part of the producers, who are apparently dialing down on the raunchy content to try and make the show more about relationships than just the X-rated scenes. A spokesperson for the show has said, the show isn't about sex, it's about following the couple's journeys. So, sex is obviously a hot topic when it comes to Love Island, and life in general, actually. But specifically Love Island, let's try and keep this, you know...
professional.
Well, professional is my middle name, so... So it's a hot topic when it comes to Love Island. Do we think that the show portraying so much sex has changed people's attitudes towards sex on TV? And is that a good thing?
I think it has. I think that definitely... even before this series of Love Island, you know, we've seen couples have sex on there before, and it was very much before this one. Oh, is anyone going to do it? Are they not? And quite a few have. And I think it's definitely made it less of an event now. It seems a lot more...
not for them.
Maybe not for them. But, you know, we would do news stories of like, oh, there's someone's had sex on Love Island, and I feel like there's probably been ones that haven't really been
that have just slipped
noted
through the net.
Yeah, because it's... I think it is. Oh, this is just going to be...
this is a recipe for
minutes.
Disaster, isn't it? Sorry, Rachel, you're making a very serious point.
Sure, I think that it has changed it and that it's no longer such a big deal.
Well, I agree. I mean, like, last year's during Love Island... it felt like there was people just having sex left, right and centre, and we were picking up on it every time. Whereas this year, it is, you're right, it just feels
they're
a lot...
they're not even including it.
Yeah, so... exactly. It's, like, it's not even deemed important enough to include. I don't know whether that's just because the show's got a lot more going on than it did last year.
Well, yeah, well, I remember last year, like, one couple had sex on top of the covers. Like, they weren't even, like, in the bed, like...
well, we had this conversation, actually, Ash, you might know the answer to this question. But how dark is it in that bedroom?
So... I don't know, because there's like all the curtains in the bedrooms are only actually like voiles. They're not actual like curtains, so they don't like cut out much light. And that garden is really like lit up outside, so I don't reckon it's like... I reckon you could probably like see your way through.
Because that's
that bedroom.
The thing, if it's like you can't see your hand in front of your face, then I think you would feel a bit more inclined to have sex on television.
Well, I wouldn't know where what was going where if it was so black I couldn't see my hand in front of my face.
But I mean, it
personally,
to do it when you can like see the other people in their beds,
yeah,
is different.
Like, I think they can definitely. Okay. And also, those beds are so close together. They're like, honestly, like it's not even sort of like a foot apart. It's
I was gonna say, I love that you're doing hand movements on a podcast.
Yeah, I was gonna say the distance between me and Daniel, but that doesn't really.
That distance is never big enough.
No,
rude. So talking about changing attitudes, I do feel like Love Island has changed my attitude towards sex on TV. I think like 5-6 years ago, I would be a lot more appalled than like I am now. Do we think that it's a good thing? Do we think that it's moving in the right direction, that people are becoming desensitized to sex on TV?
Well,
is that a good thing?
I think Love Island do it very differently to other shows. Like Love Island don't... they don't really show the graphic side of sex. So shows like Geordie Shore and to an extent Big Brother, certainly we had the open it with Kimberly and Stephen a few years ago, which I'm still recoiling in horror from. Love Island like kind of just show it in a very like, they'll show a foot moving and they'll show like someone pulling the covers over someone's head and they've got like a Barry White song in the back. It's quite like comical. It's quite sort of done
well, it's
in a...
quite silly, isn't it? It's usually like the Benny Hill theme tune in the background where they're like humping away at each other. But that's the thing. If they are going to show like under the covers movements and make it stupid, then is that any different from, say, X on the Beach just having two people going, we're going to go for a shag now and then off the go? Is that different?
I don't know, because I don't actually think that Love Island is the first show. I don't think it's the show that's made having sex on... not acceptable, but do you know what I mean? It's maybe
it's
taken it more mainstream.
It's definitely
maybe.
Not the first, yeah. But I think it is the most mainstream.
Because
like
I guess like shows like Geordie Shore and X on the Beach that have shown it kind of a lot more explicitly are on like digital channels. Where I know like ITV2 is digital, but it's got more of a, like a mainstream
where
kind of audience.
Can't, like I don't have MTV. Yeah. Everyone has ITV2,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
Everyone with TVs, that is. But yeah, so you're saying that if it's on a more...
Yeah, it's kind of brought it to the mainstream. But then, I don't know, people were humping away on Big Brother years ago, weren't they?
It was more of an event, though. I think this
Well, it was always like, who's going to be the very first people to have sex on Big Brother? And we had to wait 5 series, unbelievably, which you can't imagine now, can you, really?
No. Now it's pretty much a given.
Well, the other thing last year, I forgot about this until we mentioned... until literally sitting here. But last year, wasn't the girl stripped of her Miss England
Sarah
crown
Holland
because she had sex on Love Island? And I wonder if that happened, if there was another Miss England in there this year, I wonder if the same decision would be made.
Yeah, because I don't think that the Miss GB people anticipated how much of a backlash there was going to be against them when they stripped her of her title.
But also, it's just not as much of a big deal, I don't think.
But like, I actually spoke to some of the Love Island like producers before the series started, and they were like, Love Island isn't about sex. It like as much as like the media and the press might want to make it about sex, it genuinely isn't. And I think that's why a lot of the sex scenes are being left on the cutting room floor, because sometimes they're just not relevant. Like if two people are going off for a shag, but there's like some sort of like drama happening in the house elsewhere, that's way more interesting. So I think it's right that they're not like including like gratuitous like sex scenes just for the sake of it.
They say it's not about sex though, but there is a lot of like sexual conversation. Like last night and last night's show, the boys all had to perform a striptease for the girls, and all the girls were wearing harm monitors to see how much their pulse was going to be affected by what they were saying. So it's not, that's obviously not like full-blown intercourse, but that isn't like, they can't say that the show isn't about sex and then have literal a scientific experiment based on how people are going to react to nudity.
Yeah.
Is that right?
The tasks are very silly in that.
They're just innuendo filled, aren't they? Because wasn't it the day before last was the sausage fest one?
Yeah.
And it's...
Which was actually, to clarify for those who haven't seen Love Island, was a literal task based around sausages, where they had to like be blindfolded and try and put as much mustard on a hot dog as they could, which in my mind is a waste of a good hot dog. But that's a separate issue for a separate podcast. So there's only like 2 weeks left on Love Island, so we'll see if the sexual content gets warming up as it gets towards the final.
I don't know. I think we've only got 10 days left. They've all been in their couples for a while now. I don't know.
Yeah, but when they're waiting for the crown.
Got 10 minutes to burn.
No, that's it. I mean, like, you know, they know that they're going to be voted winner soon. And how much money do they win?
Well, we're not exactly sure, are we, Rachel?
I'm really, because I don't watch Love Island. I read it like a novel. But they
in the
have
news,
that,
not an actual novel.
No, I print it out. But they have that, last year they had that golden balls twist at the end, and I'm very anxious about the fact it might be gone.
Well, yeah, so basically they get 50 grand and they can either choose to, like, split it.
Or steal it.
50 grand. I'm going on next series.
Just for having sex on telly.
Talking about...
But that's not what it's about, Rachel.
Also, I've got one more question. Have Gabby and Marcel had sex?
No.
Have they not had sex?
No.
I reckon they'll have sex like 3 days before the final.
Well, I mean, they could have had sex, but we've not seen them. And they say that they haven't.
We would have seen it if they had, though.
Yeah, I think we would have done.
That would be a story development.
That would be a new... Yeah, development.
I bet they're saving it so they can win.
All right, well, we'll have to watch the space and see if Gabby and Marcel get it on and win. Or split the money or whatever it is that's going to happen, because I don't even know. Speaking of innuendos, i.e. Sausage Fest McGee, ever since Channel 4 announced that they'd bought the Great British Bake Off, fans have been, by and large, feeling a little bit iffy about it. I think that's fair to say, isn't it? Yeah. A lot of people have been concerned that without the BBC and Mel and Sue, the show might lose some of its charm. So this week, it's been confirmed that Channel 4 has axed one of the show's primary draws, that being its sexual innuendos. So an insider told the Radio Times that there's no more soggy bottoms in the first episode, and that instead the show is modern and a lot of the humour is going to come from Noel Fielding's surreal twists.
I think it's going to be really good.
Well, Jay Hun, who's the head of Channel 4 for now, has confirmed that this is true. The show has got... Well, she's left.
Oh, she's left. Yeah, she's left. I thought you meant, this controversy is really going to kick her out the show.
She's got a new job. Good for her. So you see, she said the show's got a new tone to it, new comedy, and that it's going to bring in some people who weren't watching The Great British Bake Off before, which is what they wanted. So, Ash, you've got some pretty strong opinions about the lack of innuendos in the new series of Bake Off, I feel. How are you feeling about this new development?
I just think if it's not broke, don't fix it. They had 14 million people tuning into Bake Off on BBC. Like, they've got the formula, they've got the format, they don't need to tinker with it.
But it did break because Mel and Sue went...
Yeah, but that wasn't...
Like, it broke, it fell apart.
But the thing, like, I think a lot of people will be watching Bake Off, certainly the new series. They'll be ready to criticize. They'll be ready to, you know, we've talked about it on the podcast before, like tear new stuff down, like they did with Top Gear, like they did with, what else have they done it with? Just like Top
Everything.
Gear. Everything. people will be ready to, like, call shit out. So if you're going to, like, then take away another, like, aspect of the show, which is so, like, synonymous with it, because it is, like, Bake Off is the soggy bottoms. It is the sort of the BAPS puns and the...
Is it that ingrained in the show, do you think? Because you're a huge Bake Off fan, right?
Yeah, it's massive. It's, like, a huge part of the show. A lot of it obviously came from Mel and Sue, but I think that's what they brought to the show and sort of gifted to it in a way.
But that's the thing. I think it was more... It's like, yeah, Great British Bake Off and innuendos, but I do think they came from Mel and Sue and they were Mel and Sue's thing. And to try and bring in, like, Sandy Toksvig and Noel Fielding and say, okay, cool, like, we do all these innuendos on Bake Off... To, like, force it on them, I think it just wouldn't work.
That's the thing. Would you, as a Bake Off fan, would you rather watch two people trying something new with the show or Mel and Sue 2.0, not quite as good, doing innuendos that aren't quite as good?
The thing, my main problem is I have with Noel Fielding, to be honest, because I kind of feel that his, like, sense of humour... Like, Bake Off is a very, very mainstream show. Like, you can't get much more mainstream than Great British Bake Off, I don't think.
Well, is it, though?
It's the big, to be fair, it's the biggest,
it's
isn't
not,
it?
It's
terms
a huge
of
show, but is the idea of bacon in a tent and an old woman judging a lemon slice with Mel and Sue Horston, seriously, is that a mainstream idea? Or is that...
It's very, like, wholesome, though. It is very sort of, like...
I guess it ticks a lot of boxes, doesn't it? Families can watch it, yeah. Nobody gets hurt.
But with I was going to say Zane Lowe, then, that would be a shock twist. But with Noel Fielding coming in with this kind of, like, zany, like, off-the-wall, quite, like, niche humour, like... I'm not going to enjoy it because I just don't enjoy him.
But I love... See, this is the thing. I've never really watched Bake Off. I might have seen, like, 15 minutes of it here or there, but I'm actually going to watch it because I think he's really funny.
So you like Noel Fielding?
Yeah, I really like him. I just think that he's really silly and he's very irreverent and he's kind of, in that way, quite similar to Mel and Sue. You know, he's not one of those comedians who's all about, like, serious statements or getting a bit sarcastic. He has that really just nice vibe to him.
Yeah, and I think... There's a lot of emphasis put on his, like, surrealness. But for me, when it's just him, he isn't that surreal. He's just really stupid.
It's so
He's
silly.
Just really silly. I mean, obviously, The Mighty Boosh, you couldn't pay me 50 quid to sit and watch The Mighty Boosh because I find it so upsetting, like, all of the horrible, surreal stuff coming out. So if I was to tune into Bake Off, like, you know, hungover, maybe, and think, oh, this is calm, this will calm us down, and then suddenly eels started coming out of the pies and Noel Fielding, like, ripped his face off and he was that other guy from Mighty Boosh, then yeah, I'd be a bit concerned about that. But I do think that he's got a nice gentle side to him.
Even on Buzzcocks, like, yeah. Never Mind the Buzzcocks is such a kind of, you know, Simon Amstel absolutely pushes the boundaries. He's so snidey about people in the best way. I love him. But even on that, Noel Fielding, like, when I think of him being on it,
he was a nice
just
guy,
really
wasn't he?
Fun and really nice. And he would, you know, tut away at Simon Amstel's jokes sometimes.
Yeah, you had, like, Simon and Phil, and they were, like, quite snarky and they were obviously very irreverent, but quite snarky. They could cross the line occasionally, but Noel was always a bit more gentle and a bit nicer, so I think he is quite a good fit for Bake Off.
I think, like, what I'm annoyed about as a Bake Off fan was, like, when Channel 4 spoilt it, they obviously knew that they had to get a new judge and a new host, whatever, but they were like, we're not going to change anything, like, Bake Off's, like, fine as it is, we know that people love it. And the first hurdle, they've been like, okay, so guys, we've, like, got rid of this, like, we're throwing this out. And it's like, well, literally, like, go back 6 months and you were like, no, we're keeping it exactly as is.
It's quite a small thing to throw out there, because I do think that was Mel and Sue's thing. Like, otherwise, you're going to have to just, you know, sit Noel and Sandy down with tapes of Mel and Sue and be like, learn this.
No bad thing.
But also, Sandy Toksvig, like, you know, there's so much emphasis put on Noel Fielding. Sandy Toksvig hosts QI and 15 to 1. Like, her whole thing is, like, knowledge and brains, and, like, she's quite a straight-laced person. So for her to come on, and I think she's a cool lady, I like her a lot, but for her to come on and suddenly be like, oh, do you want cream with that? It would be like, why? What's going on? Do you know what I mean? That wouldn't make sense.
But take Sue's, like, Sue's quite a... She's quite similar to Sandy in terms of, like, the topics and stuff that she does outside of her work with Mel. Like, she goes off and makes these documentaries in sort of, like, these far-flung places, and, like, talks about quite serious issues, but she has got that fun side to her. So maybe Sandy will have the same.
Maybe she will. We'll have to wait and see, won't we? When the new series starts airing on Channel 4 in the autumn. Before we go to this week's quiz, let's have a really quick chat about The Really Wild Show, which is apparently coming back. So we're living in an age of nostalgic TV right now. The Crystal Maze is back, Blind Date's back, even Dancing on Ice is apparently coming back. And now, I don't know how much we can call that nostalgia, though, when nobody was watching it in the first place. But you know what? We'll deal with that when that's back. Chris Packham has suggested that The Really Wild Show could be making a comeback, this time aimed at people our age in their sort of millennials, mid-20s. He said that there is a certain amount of nostalgia for the show. There's a huge adult population that remember it with enormous fondness. And virtually every time I go out, someone talks about it. So, admittedly, I did not watch The Really Wild Show, so I don't know how accurate this statement is. But with all these reboots coming out left, right, and centre, are there any shows, number one, that haven't been done that you'd like to see done? And number two, is this the right decision?
Well, I think
is this the right direction we should be going in?
I think it's a really odd decision to bring that back, because I feel like we're kind of in a golden age of wildlife programmes at the moment. Like Planet Earth, like they're bringing Blue Planet back. Like, and I kind of feel like our generation are like totally into the David Attenborough stuff. Like, we all really appreciate the kind of the stuff that he makes. Like, it's kind of cross-generational, I think.
I think they should do a new one of this, but still for kids. Because I do remember watching it when I was younger, and it was brilliant.
See, I always used to think it was really posh and too intelligent for me. So
I really like Michaela Strachan, like, running around the jungle, like, looking at all the animals. I thought it was great.
What would you like to see come back from that kind of golden era of Saturday night TV in the 90s?
It's got to be Gladiators.
Yeah. Do you know what? I agree. The thing is, and this is what I wanted to mention, is that there aren't many that haven't been done, but so few have actually been done well.
Yeah.
Well, Gladiators, they put it back on
Sky One. But the problem was, for me, like, having watched Gladiators with such, like, kid-like eyes, seeing it then come back on, like, a cable channel with about half the budget that the original had, it was just like, oh, this is just such a letdown compared to what it was.
It's like when you see a band that you used to really like, and actually now it just feels really sad and horrible.
Yeah, but the thing is, I've got to disagree with you about Gladiators and the whole budget thing, because if you watch a clip of Gladiators, that is not an expensive show.
No, but they
if you watch the night if you watch the 90s version of Gladiators, that is not an expensive show. And the problem is with the Sky reboot was that they probably had the same budget but tried to make it look glossy and new. And that's the thing with all of these 90s shows, is that they were all cheap and nasty, and they just don't work in today's
high definition days.
Yes, because either you deliberately make it look crap, which is what I think they've done with Blind Date, and it looks bad, or you try and make it look updated and fresh and new, but you just can't because you haven't got the budget. So I think if you're going to do something like Gladiators, which is what we're talking about right now, you've got to just use the same budget and the same, like, idea behind it, and not try and make it too good, just make it good enough, you know what I mean?
Well, for me, it was about scale. So I remember the original Gladiators they did in the NEC in Birmingham, and like, it, I always like felt like when you were a kid watching it, you were kind of like there with everyone, like with the foam fingers, like chanting, and they just did this one in like a really small TV studio, and it just like, it just,
atmosphere,
it felt budget.
It?
Like, I'm not saying that the original one maybe did have a shocking budget and did look cheap compared to now, but like, when you see that, like, just those cutbacks that are just so evident on screen, it just, yeah, it doesn't really work for me. So, yeah, bring it back, but do it like the old school version.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, even just stuff like Family Fortunes and Catchphrase and like all these really naff game shows that I really used to love when I was a kid, they brought them back, and it's like they're trying to make them deliberately naff, but in doing so, they're making them too naff.
See, I don't mind Catchphrase if it wasn't for Stephen Mulhern.
Well, this
like,
is
I do
the
think
thing.
The way that looks is quite good. They've kept it, like,
yeah,
really
they've
quite
not,
faithful.
Like, really shaken that
they
format
They still have
up,
where
have
they
it.
Just have a bar chair for the final round, and then they just have that metal stool.
Like, that's the one brought built, from home.
Like, with a telly and some cardboard round the edge. But, yeah, I can't bear Stephen Mulhern, but I think the way that looks is quite good.
I'll tell you what, the Crystal Maze has been done brilliant.
Yes, it has.
It's like, it's stayed completely faithful to the original. They've kind of updated like aspects of it, because part of the like the zones and stuff didn't look, if they were to recreate it now, it wouldn't look good. So I remember their futuristic zone, they were like, oh, it wouldn't look futuristic now.
Like, no.
So they've had to like redo the futuristic zone, but the rest, they've like literally worked off original plans from like the original sets and stuff. So it's really kind of like faithful to like the original series.
And you know what, actually, just going back to what we were just talking about with Bake Off, Richard Ayoade is like the perfect, That's what Noel Fielding should be looking at, and what Channel 4 should be looking at. Yeah. Channel 4. But in terms of, he's on the same plane as like Richard O'Brien and that second guy on Crystal Maze that everybody forgets about. But in terms of like, he's quite off the wall and quite odd, really. Yeah. But he's not trying to live up to them before them.
Yeah, he's brilliant. He is honestly brilliant on it. I'd never really watched much of IT Crowd before. Obviously, was aware of him, but wasn't.
But also, he's playing
humor.
A character in that show as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I just think he's brilliant.
He's so funny. I love him so much.
Yeah, I think he's fab. Speaking of things we want to bring back, I just really want to say that I think we need Top of the Pops or something similar back.
I would agree if the charts were better.
If the charts were relevant.
And I just think the way that the chart music is now, and
But I agree with you. I agree with you in the aspect of, I think musicians and pop stars need a platform to perform new music and go on and do performances other than the X Factor, because the X Factor and Strictly are like the only people.
But it's not just about the performances either. We're talking last week about Saturday morning TV shows. Yeah. And it wasn't just that they were on performing. They also did like stupid little bits in between. And the world also, it was always just exciting seeing pop stars interact with each other in a way that I don't think you really get to see now.
But you see it now, but you see it on Twitter and Snapchat and things like that. I think like back then, pop stars were such like, when I was a kid watching it, they were such like mythical creatures. The idea of like getting to see them, it was like absolutely amazing. Whereas now you can just go on Twitter or you can go on Snapchat and see their stories.
But it's much more controlled. Like, you know, if they were on like Top of the Pops Saturday, e.g., that was much more like the producers would throw things at them and try and make them look a bit stupid. And it was always very like tongue in cheek. Whereas if you go on like Nicole Scherzinger's Snapchat story and she's hanging out with Rita Ora, it's all very
PR controlled these days, isn't it?
All whereas very like filtered, isn't
yeah,
it?
It's just not very a real. Yeah. I'm not saying that kids' telly was real or Top of the Pops was real, but like...
thing is, back then, no one was going to like screen grab it and put it on Twitter straight away either.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You could be a bit silly without worrying that it's going to haunt you for the next 60 years.
No one was going to like cut the video and upload it onto like Vine, which also isn't a thing anymore.
That's another thing though with like shows like that, is that they'd have to really get the budget right, because if they look too crap, people would just immediately slate it. And if they tried to be too glossy, people would... So, I mean, that is really the... like isn't it?
It's really hard, I think, to bring something back.
I think the next thing they bring back, they should just employ the three of us to oversee it, to be honest.
Yeah. So if you're listening, what do we want? Family Fortunes? Let's do it.
Oh, isn't Family
Golden
Fortunes
Balls.
Back?
Oh my God, Golden Balls.
Golden Balls. My favourite show ever.
All right, speaking of quizzes, should we have this week's quiz?
Let's do it.
Yeah.
So, it's a very special day today because... the 25th episode of Into It, everybody.
Woo!
Wow.
It's the 25th.
We made it to 25, guys.
We've been through so much together. How do you feel?
So great.
I can tell you that, like, tearing up. So anyway, in honour of this being, like, our silver anniversary, I guess, that's the theme of this week's quiz. So I've got some random numbers here that I want you to pick. Each number corresponds to a question relating to this week's theme. Ash, because you're sitting closest to me and I'm feeling slightly lazy before my lunch, you're up first. So choose a number which corresponds to a question relating to the theme of our 25th episode.
Number five.
Okay, this is a good one. In February 2010, EastEnders went live to celebrate its 25th anniversary.
It did.
What was the big revelation in that episode? And I don't just mean Max Branning's vomit.
Or Scott Maslin forgetting his lines.
That's the best.
It was the fact that Stacey Slater killed Archie Mitchell.
Yeah!
Spoiler alert.
I think 7 years on, we're allowed to reveal that live episode plot twist. Not as good as when Joe Joyner said, "How's Adam?" Obviously, but still a pretty good episode.
God,
Rachel,
the Browning family deliver, don't they?
Well, actually, no, they don't. But
they don't, but they deliver for us.
They deliver to entertainment journalists.
Oh, I have number nine.
Number nine. Oh, you got a hard one, Rachel. I apologize. Thanks. 25 years ago, at the 1992 Academy Awards, one film took home Best Picture, Best Actor, Best Actress, and Best Director.
Oh my God.
What was the film? And if you want a clue, I'll give you one of them.
Yeah, I want a clue.
Okay. Would you want actor, actress, or director?
So it's which film and it took home all of those?
Yes.
Can I have actor?
Yeah, it's Sir Anthony Hopkins.
Oh, I'm not very good at films that are scary, but is it... I don't know if this is a film. Is it Silence of the Lambs?
It's Silence of the Lambs!
That is not 25 years old. Is it?
1992.
Do you remember seeing that one at the cinema when you were 4 years old?
No.
I still haven't seen Silence of the Lambs. It's one of the films that I promised me Mama wouldn't watch. Alongside The Exorcist.
Has she seen them and she made you promise?
Yeah, because The Exorcist, she was like, I don't ever want you watching that.
I can reenact part of it to you later on.
Oh my god, I mean, please no. So,
everyone only knows one part.
What's the part? What's the part that you know?
The only part anyone knows.
What's the only part that you...
I'm not saying
it. Can we have this conversation afterwards? Because yes. I'm genuinely curious.
I feel very uncomfortable. Ash, you're up. Although I feel like making Rachel win the quiz just for you being inappropriate.
Number four.
In 2005, the 25th Brit Awards were held with a special award for the best British single of the past 25 years. What did it go to?
Sorry, what year was the
2005, award? But okay. It was the best one song of the past 25
Wasn't
years.
Wasn't it the Spice Girls Wannabe and Jerry and Mel B picked it up?
Ash, I'm really sorry, that is incorrect. You're thinking of the 30th when they did the Best Prince performance. This was actually Angels by Robbie Williams, which he performed at the ceremony with Joss Stone. Are you digging on me?
Was that pre
That's
her
how
accent
Shay would sing
change?
That one. Was that pre what? Sorry?
Was that pre her accent change?
I think this was the accent change.
Was that the one?
I think this was the switch. I think she just got too confident on that stage and suddenly decided she was from like the Deep South. All right, Rachel, it's all to play for, mate. Choose a number.
Number one.
What was the fourth single to be lifted from Adele's album, 25? Do you like the 25 theme, by the way?
I'm enjoying it. So that's the most recent one, isn't it? I'm really bad at math. I'm not going to know this.
I'm really bad at math.
I just can't remember.
Does that affect your Adele knowledge?
It affects my numbers knowledge. Was it When We Were Young?
No, that was the second single. The correct answer is War Under the Bridge. These are still level pegging. Ash, choose a number.
Number two.
Who was the first member of One Direction to turn 25?
Louis Tomlinson.
That is correct. I haven't got an interesting fact about this one because he's not an interesting person. Rachel.
Three.
Oh. What was the name of the high school in Glee? Named after the 25th president of the United States.
Oh,
y'all wanted a twist?
I actually watched the first few seasons of Glee.
Did you?
Yeah.
That is not what I would have expected from you. You know what, Rachel? You're full of surprises. 25 episodes in and you're still surprised.
Have you got a box set on your basic DVD shelf?
No,
have you?
I don't do box sets, weirdly. Just single DVDs. I don't know the answer to this.
You'll kick yourself.
Oh.
It's McKinley High.
Damn it.
All right, Ash, if you get
this... It's another same school that's in Final Destination. Why do I know that?
You know what? The list of films that you've seen is odd. It might be the same school. I don't know. Watching Final Destination is not my destination. That was a really shit RuPaul pun.
So
I apologise. Yeah, really sorry, everyone. Ash, if you get this right, you've won, so...
Ooh, okay, pressure. I love how you've written six in letters.
It's so nine was written nine. In letters as well.
Yeah, see, I care about yous. Getting confused. Also, I care about yous. Oh, this is another hard one. I'm sorry. In 1985, Walt Disney Studios released their 25th animated film. What was it? So I'm going to tell you that as a clue that it's not one of the more mainstream ones. It's one of the weirder ones.
No, it's because that's before the Disney Renaissance, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's when things were getting pretty shit down at Disney. Although, actually, this is a cult favourite.
I want to say something like Robin Hood or something. Like
Robin Hood was like way before.
Oh, what's the one with all the dogs called? Not 101 Dalmatians.
What was it Francesca said last week when she was talking about Cheryl Cole singles and she said, what's the one where she doesn't care? I don't care. A wonderful moment.
I'm going to go... Do you know what? I can't even come up with a name. So I'm going to have to just pass.
Correct answer is The Black Cauldron.
Oh, I wouldn't know.
Oh,
that.
I've only seen the weird ones.
The Black Cauldron was on Netflix for a long time. Black
is
Cauldron
that the one
is
that's really
scary.
Dark?
It is a scary film.
is there a scene where there's like rats running through something?
I think that might just be a nightmare you had.
Oh, I've got this really vague memory from when I was a kid of a Disney film and there's like all these rats. Maybe it wasn't.
It might be that one because I don't remember rats in any other Disney film. All right, Rachel, you're back in the game anyway, so. Although, actually, I think you have to get this right to win.
Okay. Number seven.
Number seven. Oh, this is quite an easy one. The week before his death, David Bowie released his 25th album, which topped the UK charts and won a Brit Award. What was it called?
Black Star.
It was called Black Star.
Yay.
I've written down, the name of the album is also the design of the cover. That was in case Ash got the question.
Did you know the answer to
that? I did. Bloody cheek. Sorry. All right, well, this is a tiebreak situation, so I'm just going to read out the question and shout it out if you know the answer. And first one to get it right wins. And I think it's going to be Ash in a shock twist. In 2012, Kylie Minogue celebrated 25 years in music with the release of one special song. What was it called?
In what year?
2012.
Time Bomb?
Yes, it's Time Bomb! It's the one where she goes, ooh!
Oh, wow, wow.
God, it's like Kylie and Danny are here in the studio. All right, well, while me and Ash go and perfect our Kylie and Danny rendition of
your
The
Danny,
Winner Takes
by the
It
way.
All. Oh, yeah, I know I'm Danny. The gay's favourite.
Can we do 100 degrees?
Oh, my God, yes.
Oh, my God, yes.
Rachel, you can be the forgotten Minogue brother.
Done.
You can be Jason Donovan.
Even better.
All right, well, while we go and perfect our forgotten 80s Australian pop star ensembles, we're off. So we'll be back next week. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Laters!